Okay, we emerged from last year. Kufyud Gimel Halacha Tezayin, the end of Bishlachim. The Machaber said this: Kalim Shabishabahem Ha'ev Tucham Lefanenu Dvarim Sheish Behem Shem Bishuli Av Tucham. A guy cooked in front of us foods that are Bishlachim. Meaning, he cooked in front of us. Meaning, we know he used kosher ingredients. He wasn't cooking in his house, so the food is all kosher. But he cooked it in Bishlachim. So Trichum Hafshir, so after the guy cooked in those kelim, if you want to use those kelim for kosher, you have to kash the kelim. The Yeshayimim, She'enim Trichum. There are those who hold that it doesn't have to be kasher. And we'll explain why in a second. But Afal Divriham at Trichum Hafshir, even if you hold that it needs to be kasher, in Hu Klicheres, if it's a Klicheres, so you would say, oh, it's a Klicheres, you can't kasher it, you should have to throw it out. No, the din is, Makil or Shalosh Palmim, if it dies, you kasher it three times and that's enough. But Nei She'en Li Yisru Zeh Ikub Adereisa, this is an Isser She'en Le'ikman HaTerer. I hope we're going to get to talk about this. If not, we did talk about it when we went to Nagol's Kelim. But if not, we'll see if we can get to talk about it. Okay. Now the Ramah says, Ayvik Kechavim Shebisho L'Chol B'Shabbos. If a guy cooked for a chol on Shabbos, which was mutter, you're allowed to cook Bishlachim. A chol is allowed to eat Bishlachim on Shabbos. So now, mutter L'Motzoi Shabbos Afil L'Bari. The food that he cooked, which was cooked beheter, is a mutter for a bari, meaning that he's not sick, and also it's not after Shabbos. You don't have any doichik to need the food. The reason why he's allowed to cook for the guy, someone needs to cook for the cholah, so you're allowed to make bishlachim. After Shabbos, people could cook fresh food, even so it's mutter after Shabbos. The emba mishum b'shula g'chom, it's also not bishlachim. Two things. The chol ki agavna, hekeir ikar, there's a heker, mitzvah, we'll get to that, we'll talk about that. Okay, we just had to read it, because it's going to get the whole thing together. These two halachas are very connected to each other. Okay. So what's going on here? Okay, the Rashba says, it's the very end of the Rashba and Tarsabayas, says, and Tarsabayas on Bishlachim, says, if you have the case in the Mechaber says, you have a shifcha who cooks for herself in the house. Okay, so she's using your ingredients, your food, so you know she's cooking kosher, but she's cooking by herself. So he says the Yid should make sure to do something to make her food Bishul Yisrael. When he walks away, she should stir the pot, the chlis, whatever different things that he could do. Because if not, the kelim are going to have to be kashered, or if they're going to be cheres, they're going to have to be thrown out. That's what the Rashba says. The Ra says that no, the Ra is not right there. It's a couple pages beforehand. The Ra says that any isser that has to do with chasnas has kulas to it. An isser like bishlachim that has to do with chasnas only applies when there's a problem of chasnas. He says there's no chasnas to eat blias of bishlachim. Blias of bishlachim wouldn't make you feel especially connected to this person, so therefore there's no isser to eat those blias. Okay, and the food that she made is bishlachim. You couldn't eat that food. The blias can't lead to chasnas, and he brings rayas not only from bishlachim, from other halachas, all the other halachas that do with chasnas, things that have to do with chasnas. He wants to say only or sometimes only apply if there's going to be chasnas. But if there's not going to be chasnas, then he's not. He said there's no chashash.
Did he say that even if something that's cooked with a bishlachim?
About to get to that. Okay? So the Rashba, he's not responding to the Ra'ah, but the Rashba says, he brings a riot to this from a Sefer HaTrumah, from a Rishon, who says, if you have bishlachim, food that's bishlachim, and some of that food gets mixed into food that's other food, okay, in this case, we had it's a halacha back in Kufi Beis, it gets mixed into other food, then that food is also. So he says, you see that there's an issue of, that even though there's no issue of, even though the blia wouldn't cause chasnas, lead to chasnas, still you see that it's also, so you see that there's such a concern. He's not saying that lafuke, the ra'ah, but I mean, lafuke is such a shita like the ra'ah say. Okay, even though there's no concern of chasnas. So there's a tshuva in the Marashtam who says, he argues, he doesn't like this raya. He says he doesn't say it's wrong. He says you could question this raya because the cases, this is what Yosef was saying, the cases are not the same. In the case of the Sefer HaTrumah, you had food of cooking that was bishlachim, and some of that food spread over into the food, it like rolled over across into the food that's bishul Yisrael. So when the blia hit the kosher food, what was it? It was trade food going into the kosher food. It's food that if you would eat it would cause chasnas going into the kosher food. Maybe only in that case the Sefer Truma was machmir. But what happens if the food got absorbed into a kli? Absorbed into a kli can't cause chasnas anymore. At that point, the food is heter. When the food is heter, now when it gets absorbed back into your kosher food, it shouldn't cause a problem. And maybe the Sefer Truma, he says, maybe the Sefer Truma is only machmir in his case, because when the food got absorbed into the kosher food, it was tray food getting absorbed in. It was bishlachim being absorbed in. Now, once it's absorbed, it won't cause chasas. But it's too late. It already made the food tray. But if it went into the kli first, so now it's in the kli. Now in the kli it's heter. In the kli it's heter. So now it can't ask for something that's
absorbed.
Because it can't cause chasas anymore. Once it's a bleed, it can't cause chasas anymore. So at that point, it can't cause chasas. Now it can't ask for the next food also. Okay? He says you could question the raya from the Sefer Truma, but I mean, as you understand, the Rajva didn't like that. The Rajva didn't say it. The Rajva says there is a raya from there. The Marashtam brings a raya that he's right. He says the tour brought this din back in, I think it's in Kufi base. The tour brings this Sefer HaTrumo and it's the din. It's a halacha back in, I'm sorry. It's halacha base, sorry. In Kufi Shimahachu Gimel. It's halacha brought in Shulchan Aruch that food is usher. Yet by our case, about Bliyas, we have 2 days, and the tour leaning towards being machmir, that a kli has to be kafir to bishlag. So he says, can't be that din is a riot to our din, because here's the tour, and Shulchan Aruch himself brings over there, the tour brings it over there, it's usher, and over here the tour says that it's mutter. The tour says you don't have to kash kan lift to bishlagum. The tour brought that din from that the Sefer Truma brings. The din that if the food spreads into the other food, the food is usher. He says, so obviously the tour didn't hold that was such a riot. Okay? Not from the Mechaber, I'm sorry, from the tour. The tour brings that there it's usher and here it's mutter. Okay, so he thinks that supports what he thinks. Okay. So what's the machlokes between these 2 days? Put this now on the side. Okay? It's indented. Put this shadow on the side. What's the machlokes between the Rajba and the Raw? What's this machlokes? The Rajba says that the food, the kelim have to be captured, and the Raw says the kelim don't have to be captured. Okay? So Rabbi Shachter explained like this. This is how he explained what the machlokes is. The Rajba uses these words that the foods that Chazal assert, the reason that they asked it may have been because of chasas, but once they asked it, they consider it to be machalos hasuras. Once they give it that status that this is machalos hasuras, what's the din of machalos hasuras? The din is that if you have machalos hasuras in your kelim, you have to catch them. That's the rule. If you put them in your kelim, you have to catch them. The fact that the reason for the gzeirah doesn't apply anymore has nothing to do with it. Once it's considered machalos hasuras, they made a takana. Well, even though the reason for the takana doesn't apply anymore, but nice is it is a takana, and it's over now. You have to catch the kelim and the raw.
Why can you? So if it's machal masur, why by kli cheres?
We'll get that. Hopefully we'll get that. Why kli cheres is special? Okay, just hold that a second. But the raw holds. Chazal didn't make it bishlagim. Chazal just said is you shouldn't eat food that a god cooked, because if the god cooked it, it might lead to chasas. Okay, if you want to say it in different words, according to the raw, it's a gavra. It's also for you to do it. It has something to do with the food. The food didn't become usher. You shouldn't do it because it might lead to chasmas. As opposed to the Rajah, who, if we want to use those kind of words, excuse me, the Rajah holds it's like an Issa Chefter, thing becomes Machal Sasuras. Okay? So now, another application of that child, Rabbi Shachter says. So what's another nafkamina between this thing? Do you think that there's an Issa, is the food Machal Sasuras or not? Is does the food need to be bought to Shishim or bought to Barayv? If you hold this Machal Sasuras, then it needs to be bought to Shishim. Machalos Asuras, the rules are Machalos Asuras gets Bata Mashishim. And therefore, if you had Bishlachim mixed into foods, it would be need Bita Mashishim. If you hold that it's not Machalos Asuras, it's just you're not supposed to eat the food, it doesn't have those special rules on Machalos Asuras of like Tam Kiyaka kind of rules. So what is it? You need Bita Barayv only. As long as the thing that you have in front of you is not the Isser, it's mainly another thing, Bita Barayv says we treat this as Barayv, not this thing, it's not the food, then you'd be allowed to eat it. Okay, so the raw, according to the raw, would be bit the baroy, and according to the raw, it would need bit the b'shishim. Okay, new. So what's the din? What's the din? Is bishlachim bought the baroy or it's bought the b'shishim? So the din is that it's bought the baroy. Okay, we've had it beforehand. We had it. The shach brings it right over here again. We had that beforehand. We've seen that before. That we pass in. It's a shiloh. Whether it's bought the baroy or bought the b'shishim, we pass in that it's bought the baroy. Okay, what does that mean? Really passing in the svara like the raw.
Was it a Gemara or something? Where was the source?
That it's bought the Baroy position? Yeah. No. It's really, he's saying it's an apple. It's a child under the Rishonim. Which one is?
Yeah, by Shechter.
Yeah, he's saying that it's connected to the same child. So he says this that we say that you have to kashu Kalim is a Chumrah. It's not really Minhadin. Really, if we follow the logic of all the other dinim, you would not have to kashu Kalim. That's why there's a day that the Mechaber even brings both days that maybe you don't have to kashu Kalim. And this that we kashim is just mitam chumrah. And we're lechorma treating it like machal sasuras, even though in other applications, we're going to talk more of them in a second, we don't treat it like machal sasuras. And
so,
Israel,
so you should be machmir that it's not bakal baroyf?
No, that much we don't go. In this pride.
What's the difference? Because it's
why do we choose that? I'm not sure why.
You can't use the food, because the food will be lost. You can't, you can fix.
Maybe that's what it is. Okay, maybe that's the reason. We extra machmir about this, because this would be. Okay, now, I don't know, because the next thing I'm going to tell you is, support what Rabbi Shach is saying, he brings a chuvah saran. Okay, there's a chuvah saran talks about it. The Beis Yosef brings a few words on the chuvah saran. The chuvah saran is talking about a shiloh, very related, but not at all our shiloh. He's talking about grape jelly. Okay? You know, you take grape juice, which is stam yain, it's mamash with stam yain, and then you turn it into jelly. And he's going, nowadays, that the stam yain is also not because of, they might have used it probably the Zohar, but because of chasmas also. He says, jelly, there's no chasmas from jelly. It's not grape anything. So if you took stam yain and you turned it into jelly, basically, jelly, would that be considered, would that wine be usher? So he says, he brings the ra'ah, and he says, according to the ra'ah, since there's no concern of chasmas anymore, you'd be allowed to eat the jelly. It started off as isser, and you'd be allowed to eat it. The chuvah saran. You should be allowed to eat it. The Beis Yosef brings a few words from it. That's what he says. He says, but... Since, he says in Svara, that's what you should do, that would be correct. He says, since others argue on that, since there are others who don't agree with what he says, the Sefer Truma, I think, I don't remember if you mean Sefer Truma, since there are others who argue on the Ra, therefore you should be machmir and not eat that fruit. Okay? The way he says it is his way, which is, min hadin, really it's correct the other way. In Svara and logic, if we follow through all, whatever else we're familiar with, we would have said that you'd be allowed to eat that jelly. He's not talking about the Bishlakama, but it's the same child. You'd be allowed to eat it. So he says, but will be machmir and say like the wrong but in this part, you shouldn't eat it. Now they're talking about the food itself. Okay, so I don't know if your chiluk is going to work anymore. But I'm saying, but the Ran says it as and the Avin Nezer is even stronger about it. The Avin Nezer also makes this connection that Rishach is making between the Bittu Mishishim and Kash and Kale, that same child. So the Ran is saying that we took it as the din might be like this, and we're choosing to be machmir in the Kale, we're in the jelly cases. In the certain cases, we're machmir. I have to tell you, even the Ra'ah himself. The truth is, the Ra'ah says, when we say that things that are asr for chasnas are asr only when there's a chash of chasnas, the Ra'ah says, it's not always. In specific cases, Chazal let us get off the hook with that chasnas. I mean, you're not going to find that in every single application did we say that if there's no chash of chasnas, then you don't have to be chosher for bishlakim. The Ra'ah says, he brings rights from different examples where there's no chasnas, we took off the isra. It doesn't mean in every case. Okay? I don't know if it has to be...
It's a third cooked. It's not really
chasnas. Oh, so who says that?
Rabbi Ronin, Rabbi Eisenbach.
That's what the Avnei Nezer is talking about. The Avnei Nezer is talking about whether that din, a food that's a food, he says that's totally in the same machlokes. The Raj Ben Ra'ah is the same Raj Ben Ra'ah. He says it's also telling the same machos.
And look, Gunter, a third cook wouldn't be
usher? He says, he says, not usher. If the guy cooked it a third and then the yid come and cooked it afterwards, could he be isra hachos le'atera? Could you take the isra off? It's telling the same thing. No, so you.
I wasn't talking about that, but I was just talking about if the guy cooked it a third cook and stop.
He stopped cooking. So why?
It's not a Shulchan Aruch right now.
Oh, we talked about it. It's considered a Shulchan Aruch. Okay. We do consider it a Shulchan Aruch. He meant the case, if I remember, the case where the guy cooked it more than a third cook, and now you want it's Isser. Could you get it back afterwards and make it back afterwards? He talked about something. Now, another application of this Machlokes, the Raj Ben Ra'ah, is the what the Rama talks about. That's why I read the Rama so quickly. It's what the Rama talks about. What happens if you cooked for a Chol on Shabbos? Okay. So the din is, if you cook for a chayla she'em b'sakana, a chayla is allowed to be over on Yisurin d'Rabbanan, many Yisurin d'Rabbanan, it's later in your day, Kuf Nun Hei, the Ramah brings it over there, you're allowed to do many Yisurin d'Rabbanan, except Yisuri Achila. Yisuri Achila, the thing that Asa b'Achila d'Rabbanan, a chayla is not allowed to eat. A chayla she'em b'sakana, not allowed to have. So, if you had a question, is a chayla allowed to eat bishlakum? You would say, no, a chayla is not allowed to eat bishlakum. Because you would, if you look just at in Kuf Nun Hei, you would say, a chayla is not allowed to eat bishlakum, because it's a drabon. But the din is not like that. The din is that a chayla is allowed to eat bishlakum. Why would a chayla be eating bishlakum? It doesn't mean because he dafka needs his food. It means it's Shabbos. So on Shabbos, the chayla, for his sickness, needs hot food, or fresh food, or a certain kind of food, and no one could cook on Shabbos. It's Shabbos. So you say, okay, we'll have the guy cook for the chayla. The problem is, if the guy cooks for the chayla, it's going to be bishlakum. So the din is, the yid who's the chayla is allowed to eat bishlakum on Shabbos. Because he eats for his chili, even though it's an issur drabbanan. Those din are separated from each other. This din of that a chol kli is in shin chav ches. Okay, and Machaber says chol zadi bishlag. The Mishnah says because it's a chol shem b'sakana. Even though usually we'd be machmer to say you can't eat sundar, but here you could be mekel. Now there's that's one part. But we're up to the second part. We'll get into the second part in a second. So now. You might think that din, that a chol is allowed to eat it, even though it's an issur drabbanan, is because it's a kula of bishlakam. Bishlakam is not such a strong issur drabbanan, like we saw a second ago, it's ein le'ikam and a terror. Maybe you might think that that's what it is. But that's not the truth. The reason why a chol is allowed to eat bishlakam on Shabbos is because of the ra'ah. It's our same ra'ah says that a chol could eat bishlakam on Shabbos. That's the makar for this din. What does he say? He says, there's no chasmas when he eats bishlakam on Shabbos. He doesn't explain, but I think what he means is that if a guy makes food for me because he's my friend, it might lead to chasmas. If the guy makes it for me because he's a nurse in the hospital, because he's doing me a service, he's helping me with some medical need, that doesn't lead to chasmas. So whatever, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if that's what he means. But he says there's no chash of chasmas, so you're allowed to eat the food. It's the same ra'ah that we've been talking about says this application. Okay?
Who said it?
The ra'ah. The same ra'ah.
The ra'ah himself said?
The same ra'ah who said out then says, and another thing, then if you cook, you're allowed to eat it on Shabbos because there's no chasmas there either. The ra'ah himself says that's what it is. Okay? So it's not because it's a kula of bishlakim. It says there's no chash of chasmas. It's not us at all. And the ra'ah says, and then him came. What's the difference? Here comes an afkamina, which is, what about after Shabbos? What happens if you want to eat the food after Shabbos? What happens if a bari wants to eat the food? Now, the bari can't eat the food on Shabbos because of technicalities, because he's marav b'shvila. There might be technicalities why the bari can't eat it on Shabbos. What happens after Shabbos? If you would say that it's a kula because it's a ein le'ikam le'tarah, some kind of kula of bishlakim, then a person who's not a chola couldn't eat it. But the Ra'ah says, a bari can eat it after Shabbos, it's not bishlakim. It's like saying if it was nechachayim, anybody can eat it. So here he says, it's not bishlakim, because there's no chash of chasas. When you're making it for a chayla, it's what the Ramo calls it, the chokhi agavna hakeri ika. The Ramo over here is bringing the words from the Ra'ah. It's saying that you can eat it after Shabbos, even a bari can eat it, because it's not bishlakim. Okay, it's not a thing that chazal asr. Okay, so that's another application of the same machlokes, the Raj from the Ra'ah. That's why the Ramo is over. Part of what the Ramah is over here. So what do we say over here? Here would be mekel also. We're saying that the Ramah says we could be mekel to eat this food because foods that don't have the chashash of chasnas, in certain times when the food doesn't have a chashash of chasnas, there's no issur bishlakim. Okay, and that's why the bari is let eat it. Okay? That's the Ramah says it over here. The Ramah is meramis to it in Aruch Chaim also. If Hilchos Shabbos is in a different place, in Kofi Yud Ches, he's meramis to it. And the Mishmur over there brings it. The Shaar Tzion in Kof Chavches says that you should be machmir, not like the Rashi, not like the Ramah. The Ramah said a bari is allowed to eat it after Shabbos. Even a bari is allowed to eat it after Shabbos. The Shaar Tzion brings that no, you shouldn't be. Some on that. There are many who argue on that. What the Taz? There are many who argue on that and say no, the bari is not allowed to eat it, and therefore we shouldn't eat it. Okay. So again, it's the same point that we're saying beforehand, which is min hadin we might paskin like the Ra'ah. That really doesn't apply with the chash of chasis, doesn't apply. We might be mutter in specific cases, but mitzad chumra would be machmir and say, don't do the thing. So we kasha the kelim, and we don't follow the Ramah, and we say, a bari shouldn't eat the after Shabbos. Okay? Brought as a chumra. Okay? And the hint that it's being brought as a chumra is because the same Shaar Tzion, the same Shaar Tzion says, but what happens if the guy cooks food on Shabbos, and he cooked food bishlakim, so he says, you shouldn't eat that food after Shabbos, but you don't have to kasher kelim. Oh, he says, yesh, there's one to be samuchan for not kasher kelim after Shabbos. Okay, which is to say, to go that far, to say, not only don't eat the food, but even kasher kelim after Shabbos, that's going too far. So it's like we're taking
a little bit, right? So it's not, it could be you don't have to kasher kelim altogether.
Right.
And even kasher kelim could be that.
So I didn't say it that way, because it's really not true. Really, it's not two tzirufim because
it's the same
both the exact same thing. They're both the same ra'ah. It's lines apart from each other. It's the same ra'ah from the same store. It's not, I don't think his point is exactly the same, like sort of a monoshach or a svek sveka. It's sort of like We're only going to take the chumra. I'm saying the Rav Shachter would have said, I didn't even talk about this case, but the same point Rav Shachter saying. We're being machmir to say, treat it as if it's macholos asuras. So we're machmir, don't eat it. We're machmir for a certain way. Machmir usually to tell people kasher kelim, but to tell you, the food was mutter on Shabbos. There was a person who was allowed to eat it. The chayil could eat it. So you don't eat it. But then go, and then kasher kelim also, that was like already going too far. So I'm saying the same kind of thing, which is where min hadin, it seems like there's many people who are saying to go like the Rajbu, like the Ra'ah, but mitzvah chumrah to not go like the Ra'ah, not to go like the Ra'ah, but in a bunch of applications, more or less in different cases. Okay? We have to do a few things quickly if we want to finish. Okay, which is, one is, we asked this two times, first in Tufman Bays, in Hagol's Kalem, and after in Kufi Bays, same question, which is, there's a little bit of a problem. It's not so much a problem for us, Lamaisa, but it's a problem in understanding, which is I told you that we Paskin, the Shach says it right here, that Bishlachim is about the Baruch. And the Machaber implies, and that's what most people accept, that you have to Kashi, you have to Bishlachim. Okay? The Machaber also holds, as does the Rama, that a Keli that's Asul Shtamish B'Shefa doesn't need to be, you could use it without Kashi. What does that mean? If you have a Kli, that the amount of treif that's in there will definitely be bottled to the next food. There isn't a question it will be bottled to the next food. You don't have to kasher it. Why? Because you only kasher because of Tom Kierker. Might make the next food treif. If it's physically impossible, not that you happen to be doing it that way, it's physically impossible to make the next food treif, then you don't have to kasher. So if the thing is going to be bottled baroiv, that means it's never going to ask the next food. It's not possible. I mean, unless you have this a very unusually shaped kli, it's basically impossible. The next food shouldn't have more size than the amount of bleed that's in there. So how could it be? Why should you have to kasher? So that, in other words, the Rajba and the Ra are arguing whether the bleed is usher. And the Ra is saying, don't kasher because the bleed is not usher. Fine. Let's say the bleed is usher. Even if the bleed is usher, so why do you have to kasher it anyhow? If you had cooked chazer in there in a way that was usher l'shamish b'shefa, the Machaber and the Rambam both hold. You don't have to kasher.
According to what you're saying, it's not sure. Right?
That what?
Because really, the reason why you have to kasher is because you hold that it's not bottle buried.
Oh, you're saying, we're saying to kasher as if we hold like the Rajba, we're saying we're being machmir to say like the Rajba, as if it's bottle b'shishim, which is true. Many people say it like that they connect the sheet. Since we're doing this as chumrah, so it doesn't logically follow through, because really it's bottle buried, but we're being machmir for the Rajba,
so we can just wallow machmir out there. That's okay, you have to explain.
Got it. Okay, so you're saying good answer. You're saying that we're choosing to be machmir because we're choosing to be hush for the Rajba in this specific situation, for whatever reason, we don't know, for whatever reason. So that gets wrapped together with being bottle b'shishim. Okay, that's a good answer. I'll take that. Okay.
What were you gonna say?
I don't have a good answer. I have bad answers. I have poor answers to the question. You have a much better answer. So we'll take that. Good answer. Okay. Two more things. Okay. First is when in Hagol's Kalem, way at the beginning of when we started learning Hagol's Kalem, we brought what the Ramah brings over here, okay, what the Machaber brought over here, that if you want a kasher after Bishlach was made in the Kli, and using the Kli and the Kli Chera, so you would think you'd have to throw it out. So the Machaber said, no, you don't have to, you could do Hagol three times. Okay, that thing comes from Sefer Iter. And the Sefer Iter first starts off by saying that maybe by all Isurim Drabanan you should be allowed to do three Hagolos after the Cheras. What's his reason? His reason is because when you cash for Kli Cheras, you get out a lot of Bliya, but you don't get all the Bliya out. Okay, so we'll use it. I might not be accurate the way I'm saying this, but if you say that there's 10 gallons of Isser absorbed into the Kli, so if you, 1 ounce of Isser absorbed into the Kli, okay, there's 1 ounce of Isser absorbed into the Kli, if you kash, if it's a Kli Cheres, and you kash, you're only going to get out 3/4 of the ounce. Okay, you get a 3/4 of the ounce out. So he says, well, if you kash it three times, you keep kashering it again. He has a right from a Yerushalmi. He's not making this up completely, but he has a right from a Yerushalmi. If you do it enough times, so the first time you got a 3/4 of the ounce. The next time you get out even more and more. Eventually, there's so little left that that wouldn't be a problem. He thinks that it should maybe be mutter by all the Sunda Rabbanan. That's what he thinks of the Yerushalmi says. He says, you know what? We'll say the Yerushalmi is only by case of Sunda Rabbanan She'en Lo Ikrim HaTorah, a lower grade of Sunda Rabbanan. And so that's what he settles on there. It's only by that thing, of which we know two cases. In Ikum and Atera, one is Bishlakum, is a Issa Dorun Shah in Ikum and Atera, and the other one is Chalas Chutz Laretz. Okay? which, just for the side, we don't usually kasher the chalas chutzar. So what we do is we just mafresh chala on the blias. That's what we do. It's easier than kasher. Okay? You just take a batter, this is a really sad point, take a batter that's tevel, and you mafresh chala from the tevel, and for the blias that are inside the kli. Okay? And then that's an easier way than trying to kasher. But anyhow, so that's what Sefirita says. Okay? Now, at that time, when we talked about it then, we didn't talk about it another time. I'm going to talk about it for a minute here, which is, there's two types of kelim that need libun. One type of kli that needs libun is a kli cheres. You can't cash it without doing libun to it. There's another kind of kli that needs libun, and that is a kli that was used with the food directly on the fire. You have a broiler, you put the food right on into a pan, put it right into the fire, that pan needs to be kashered with libun. So, the question is, does the Sefer Eater's Kula apply to the second case also? He says it by Klicheres. Klicheres, it's Balea, you have to kash it with Libun to get a little bit of Zach, you can do three Hagolas. Would he say the same thing if you had a Kli that was used right on the fire, and you want to get the Blias out, could you do three Hagolas to that also? Okay. And does the same thing apply? Wherever you do Libun, could you maybe for Bishal Akum, excuse me, get away with three Hagolas? Okay, so, Rabbi Belsky came up with a Kal v'chomer. Okay? Kal v'chomer said that it's mutter. Okay, what's the Kal v'chomer? The Gemara says like this. If you have cook on a fire, a carbon, directly on the fire, the carbon was hefter when you cooked it, then you don't have to kasher that spit with libun, you could do hagolo to it. Since it went in as hefter, you could kasher it with hagolo, you don't have to kasher it with libun. Okay? Negate to us is, if you have a pan, a frying pan, this happens all the time. It happened yesterday, we got the shiloh. You have a frying pan that was cooked, someone cooked fleshik, had a fleshik frying pan, and they cooked milchugs in it, when the frying pan was ain a ben yermen. So that pan is not basar b'chalav. It has blias of basar, and it has blias of chalav. It's not basar b'chalav. It's both, it's basar and chalav, it's not basar b'chalav. So it has two blias of heter. Okay, so the Rukvega says, in that case, is a case of its heter was absorbed into the kli, you can kash it with hakol, you don't need to do libun. Okay? Even though it was cooked right on the fire, they had meat one day and a piece of cheese, and the next day right on the fire, you could do hakol, you don't have to do libun. Okay, because it's heter. When you have heter, you don't have to, when the blue is so heter, you don't have to do hakol. But that thing is not true, it was a kli cheres. If you had cooked in a kli cheres heter, you would have to throw the kli out. You can't do hakol. You don't say do hakol, and that's good enough. So what does Rogalski say? That's what shows you is that the amount, Hagola takes out more blia from a kli that's used directly on the fire than it does out of a kli cheres. MK, if the Sefer Eater says that three Hagolas for an Eil Ikum Natara works when the kli cheres, Kol Shekhin that should work for a kli that was on the fire. Okay, I have a feeling I've lost you in the cheshire. But yeah, Rogalski makes Kavachar. Okay. There's a different Rakhil. Different Rakhil says exactly what Rabbi Elsky says. Okay? Rabbi Shachter, it's going to get too complicated, so I'm going to skip most of this. Rabbi Shachter thought that it was not a riot. He held that the blias worked differently. And one of the things that Rabbi Elsky said is, just what we get to our part is, Rabbi Elsky said is, you should know, no one ever said that when you kash or cleef from Bishul Akum, you should have to leave one. There's no one who ever says such a thing that you have to leave one. Okay? He can't find me an example. Okay, so I'm skipping to this part. There's a little part to mention is that in fact our Rashba said that. Okay, now there's a question in Giras over here. The Rashba, as it's printed in the Torah Sabayis, says if you use the kli for Bishul Akum, if the shivcha cooked the food with Bishul Akum, you would have to do hakola or libun, each kli like according to the way it was used. So you have to do hakola or libun, each kli the way it was used. Okay, that's the way our Rashba says it in Torah Sabayis. If you look in the Rashba, the way the Beis Yosef brings it, he skips that word. The Libun word is not in there. Right? It's not in there. So you could think to ask, Tom Rebelsky, that the Rashba does say you should have to Libun. Okay? If you look at the Rashba in Teres Abayis, it's much like the last words of the Rashba, he says you have to do Libun. Okay? In fact, it's not true. It's not really a question. Because what's the next words of the Rashba?
I don't understand. Why does Rebelsky say you never have to do Libun? Based on
Bishul Akum.
Why?
You have to do three Hagolas. Three Hagolas would be good enough.
Because of the three Hagolas?
Yeah, you do three Hagolas. You don't have to do not do anything. You have to do three Hagolas would be good enough.
I mean, you're going to him. It's technically possible to do Libun. If I can want to do Libun, say three Hagolas.
Oh, okay. I have a better answer. The next words in the Rashba are, or if it's a Kli Cheres, you throw it out. You do Hagolas or Libun, but throw it out, it's a Kli Cheres. Okay, so the Rashba obviously didn't hold like the Sefer Iter that you could do three Hagolas for a Kli Cheres. He says, or you throw it out if it's a Kli Cheres. Okay, so since he obviously didn't hold the Sefer Iter, it's not a kasha, why he said you have to leave him. Okay, Rebelski's whole thing is a cheshbon of his Kal V'Chomer based on the Sefer Iter. The Rashba doesn't hold with the Sefer Iter. The Rashba says, or if it's a Kli Cheres, you have to throw it out.
We don't even hold like the Sefer Iter.
We do so hold like the Kli Cheres. For Bishlakim we do. It's right in the Machaber. We just said it.
For Bishlakim.
But he's talking about Bishlakim. The Rashba says, if the, you make sure that if the goyim cook in your house, you stir the pots, because or else, you're going to have to kasha the kelim with Hagola, or leave it, or throw it out if it's a Kli Cheres. So by saying, or throw it out, it's a Kli Cheres, not the same for Eitan. What is it? Do three Hagolas. That's easier than throwing it out. Okay? So you see that he doesn't hold of a, he doesn't hold the same for Eitan. So therefore he could say Libanay. Right? To end on the bright note, no, really, since we're sitting here in the CRC building, is a shayla from Rabbi Schwartz. Okay? Which is, shouldn't end the Rabbi Belsky Rabbi Schwartz, but end the Rabbi Schwartz. Which is, what happened like this? A person was becoming a ger. Okay, so in order to become a ger, they have to learn all about mitzvahs. And they have to, if we use the word practice, doing mitzvahs. They go to shul, they do all kinds of, they practice keeping Shabbos, sort of. They do all kinds of things. That's what gerim do. All gerim do that. So the ger was practicing keeping kosher. They were learning how to do it. They started keeping kosher. So the ger bought new pots and pans, all kosher in the kitchen, whatever they did. I think in this case they bought new pots and pans. And they were running a kosher kitchen. They were getting used to keeping kosher, which I guess that's what they're supposed to do. They were learning how to do it. Came along with the gerus. They became a ger. On Tuesday, they became a ger. So came Tuesday and said, oh my gosh, yesterday I cooked in my pots. It was bishlakim. I cooked in my own pots. So my pots are bishlakim. So I have to kasha my kelim because I just made my food. The Machaber says, if you have bishlakim, you have to kasha your kelim. So now, what we're not going to talk about is, we're assuming that the guy is allowed to trust himself. The ger is allowed to trust himself. Meaning, yesterday, a goy cooked in his pots. How does he know that the pots were used for kosher?
That's not sure.
Okay, so he could...
You know, be bitter.
Okay, and what about his, the people come to his house? If you want to eat in his house? So we're not going to talk about that. If you come to his house, you have to trust him. A goy cooked in the pots. Okay, so we'll put them on top. But the child that he answered, Rabbi Schwartz, was, well, good, so they have to cash for his kale. To which Rabbi Milchuk asked the question. So Rabbi Schwartz said, of course. He says, we tell all of our people, Gerim, who know what they're doing, we tell them, you should taka eat kosher. You practice keeping a kosher home, milk hugs and flashings and kosher things, but don't kash your kelim yet. Eat kosher on treif kelim. And only when you buy new pots or you're going to get ready to kash it, do that after the gerus. Don't bring out your new pots until you're... Now, maybe there's other reasons. You want to make sure they get it right, because they're practicing. You know, they don't know what they're doing. But he says, yeah, taka, because of bishlak, and you have to kash the kelim. So Mamela, he says, when you buy your new dishes or you kash your kitchen, don't do that until after the gerus happens or when you won't be cooking anymore. So then you shouldn't have to kash. Okay.